Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
On this beautiful, beautiful Sunday, we are starting a brand new series today called For the Culture.
Come on.
Oh, man. With everything that's going on in this world, we are doing it for the culture. And I'm so excited about it. So, hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to grab them right now and turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 8. Philippians is in the New Testament. So, please, come on. Don't like be that person. You think you're too cool. Go get your Bible. We like big Bibles and we cannot lie. Yes, it's true. Go get your Bible because it's great that you don't just hear what we're talking about, but you get to see it up close and personal in God's Word. And also take notes because they might not help you right in this moment, but they're going to point you back to a place in God's Word that will bless you. So with that being said, I want you, Philippians 4:8. That's where I want you to go right now, and we're going to start reading it. And it reads a little something like this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Hey, if you are taking notes in this very first part of this series, For the Culture, it's not really a title to it, but me and my wife are just going to have a conversation about our values. And before we continue, love, let's pray.
Father God, I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for this beautiful day, this beautiful Sunday, Lord. I pray for this message, God. May we lie down as you rise up, even as we do this in conversation mode, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit is here, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may guide this discussion, God, and that it may touch the hearts and minds of all of our brothers and sisters that are watching, God. Lord, I thank you for this time, Lord. We give it all to you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, 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 and amen. Well, For the Culture, this is a new series that we're starting. We just got off a dope series called Stressed But Blessed, and I hope that really did bless your life. But we wanted to really begin to talk about culture, but in a different context. For you've probably heard me say this many a times, but culture is determined by default or by design. And I don't want to just allow things to happen in my life based upon the way things have been. I want to be really intentional about the things that happen in my life. And if you're not careful about setting your culture will be set for you. And I don't ever want to live in a space of something that was created for me to operate in that I didn't have something to do with. I want to know that I'm being very intentional about the person that I'm becoming. So I read these verses from Paul in Philippians 4:8. He wrote this love when he was in prison.
Yeah.
And he loved writing to the Philippian church. He probably visited there more than any other church that he actually founded. And the thing about the letter to the Philippian church that's different than all the other letters, because you hear about, you know, the letters to Corinth or the church in Ephesus. Well, Paul wasn't really correcting the Philippian church because they were one of the churches that were getting it right.
Yeah.
Now, every church has problems. They weren't perfect, and Paul would address those things. But Paul was really trying to encourage them that the great foundation that he had laid, continue on in that. I mean, they were generous. They were loving. They were amazing. And Paul wanted to encourage them in the right things that they were doing. And this is where we get into Philippians 4:8, where he says, you know, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And Paul is saying this, hey, whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice.
Yes.
And the God of peace will be with you. What is this verse saying? Here's what I think it says. Whoever you think you are and believe you are, you will become.
That's good.
Whoever you think you are, whoever you believe you are, that's who you'll become. Because whatever occupies your thinking will eventually work its way out in your words and your actions. I like to say it like this from a mentor of mine. His name is Pastor Keith Kraft. He says, when you know what matters most to you, you'll attract what's most important to you.
That's good.
You attract who you are. That's just it. Like, we attract who we are. So how can we attract who we are? Well, first you got to know who you are.
That's right.
And the way you know who you are is through your core values. When we talk about culture, y'all, we're talking about setting core values. I don't personally believe that we can move forward in life, and we definitely can't move forward as a church if our core values are not clearly defined. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be unveiling the new values of Cool Church. And oh, we worked so hard on them. I'm really excited about it. But we wanted to take time in this world that we live in, as crazy as it may be, to really give us as a church a pure foundation of who we are. And you can't do it without values.
Yeah, our values, man, they shape who we are. Our values, you know, over this period of time throughout this series, if you will, we're really going to be focusing on getting really practical.
Yeah.
Because what I love about core values is that they are practical.
Yes.
Which to me, that just means that they're actionable.
That's right.
We see them. We do them. Mm-hmm. We put them into practice. And so, you know, core values are just that. They help us to guide our life, they help us to move, they help us to make decisions. And we're going to talk about that some more in this conversation. But I love the thought that in this world that we're living in, where everything seems so uncertain, it's the core values that anchor us, right?
Absolutely.
It's the core value that our values that center us, mm-hmm. and they keep us from rocking with the tides and rocking with all of the emotions that can come out of these uncertain times.
That's right.
What's great is that the world and everything happening around us is uncertain, but our core values are very certain.
I love that, because values give you certainty. They help you know who you are in the midst of crisis, but they'll define who you are outside the crisis as well.
Yeah.
I think our family is very special. I mean, I have to say that, right? Like, it's my family. So I think
you are partial.
That's
I
true.
Am too.
That is true. But like, one of the things that I think is very unique about our family is that we're parents of an adopted child.
Yeah.
So for us, our family values have been super, super important in helping define who this young lady is going to grow up to be. We love Vava, man. Vava is like our heart. That's my princess. Mom over here calls her baby girl. We love her to death. And here's the thing I love about values. Like, values is not a genetic thing.
Yes.
Like I love it, because when I look at Vava, I think over the course of, let me see, she came into our lives in 2014. She would have been about 4 years old then. And it's been 6 years. She's 10. What I find is very interesting. One, if you don't know that, you know, we've adopted this child, you would never think that we did. Not just because she looks like us. The way this child acts and the things that she does.
Yeah.
I mean, Vava is a Wilson. Like,
she's so a Wilson.
Like, she's probably more of a Wilson than we are. Like, yeah. She acts just like us. It's so crazy. Like, how did a little girl that came from an island hundreds of miles away from where we live, how does she become just like us? I mean, she's an artist. I mean, you know, Joanne and I were artists by trade. We both went to art school. Well, this little girl, she can draw and paint anything.
Oh, yeah. She's always making something.
She's so creative.
Yeah.
I mean, and she's a builder. Well, her dad loves to build stuff. I'm always putting stuff together. She has her Legos. She's always making towers. She's taking boxes and making cars and making all kinds of cool stuff. But then the thing that I love that she does is what we do. She loves interior design.
Yes.
And we're designers by nature, right? I think the funniest thing that she does is when she takes Legos and I'm thinking she's going to build all this cool stuff. And she's like, Dad, look at this apartment I just designed.
Yeah.
Like, it has such a nice bathroom. I'm like, you designed an apartment with Legos?
Yeah, seriously. And then she'll cut fabric. and she'll put up curtains and she'll put up, you know, make a bed and have the actual comforter and everything. She's very detail oriented as well. And yeah,
I wonder where she gets it from.
I do wonder where she gets it from.
And here's the other thing about Vava, like, not only is she creative, like, she's like us in more ways than we can imagine. Vava is, listen, she should probably be a lawyer. Her mother and father are pastors, but this girl can talk. And you put her in front of a camera, she is ready to go. And the thing I love about her as well is that she'll debate you on anything. She's not just going to take what you say. She's like, well, why is it like that? Exactly. And she'll have her own, you know, way in which she wants to. I remember she was watching a Bible story from Cool Kids on the video. And then right after that, she had watched a sermon that I had just preached. And we both talked about Adam and Eve. I didn't say the part where the snake comes in to deceive Eve because I wasn't reading those verses that day. And she was like, Dad, when you preach this story of Adam and Eve, I thought it was the snake that made them sin. Ooh. I'm like, baby girl, you're right. And I'm but
she's
like
trying to check somebody.
Yeah. And I was laughing because like I could have been mad and I could have been like, well, you don't know what I'm talking about because we're going through deep theology. No, I didn't do that. I actually was proud. Because let me tell you what she did. Not only did she say that, she went to her room. She grabbed her Bible.
Yes, she did.
And she was like, Dad, see, this is the part that you left out. And I had a proud dad moment.
Yes.
I said, my baby girl ain't just going to take a word from anybody. She's going to go in her Bible.
Some adults don't do that, Terrence. That's a whole other conversation.
Conversation. But she's going to go in the Bible and she's going to try to figure out what's what. And I feel like she gets that from us. All I'm trying to say is, once again, genetically, those are not things that we pass to her.
Yeah.
They're not. But she shares our same makeup because she shares our values. She does what we do, whatever she has seen in us.
Yeah.
Whatever she has heard in us. She puts those things in to practice, and those values right now are dictating the course of our baby girl's life. So with that being said, I want to ask you, Joanne, because there's folks out here that hear us talking about values and how our child's being influenced by our family values. First of all, for the person that doesn't know, what are core values?
Oh yeah, core values. Now we started talking about it a little bit, but core values are essentially the things that matter most to you.
Love that.
So it's really what you care about, what you focus on, the things that really drive you. And so core values, they more specifically, they can influence your behavior. They can help shape your culture. And I love this part about core values. Core values help us to make decisions. As a matter of fact, they are our decisions.
Yeah.
So we make decisions based on what our core values are. There's a lot of people that are indecisive. I believe that if you were to ask those people that are indecisive what their core values are, they probably can't tell you.
True.
Because your core values help you to make sound decisions or decisions that align with those values, right? Core values determine your character.
I love it.
Who you are behind closed doors, when no one's watching, at night, anywhere. Your character should remain steadfast, should remain the same. So your character. And then I love this too, is that your core values are what you commit to, whether it's personally or whether it's in an organization.
That's great.
Core values really keep you, I love it. Core values kind of keep you honest.
Yeah, it's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you could say whatever you want, but what I love about core values is core values are the evidence. They are the evidence of the things that you say or the things that you believe. So core values, in essence, is an action.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a tangible thing. There's something that you can see. I like to say they're like receipts to the life you say you want to live.
Good. Show me them receipts.
Show me the receipts to your life, right?
I love that.
Yeah, so I you know, core values really help us to determine or to live the best life or the fullest life that we can live. So many people feel like they don't know what direction they're going in, or they feel like their life is empty, I believe that as soon as the quicker you can develop, and I don't think it's a fast process. So I don't want to say like the quicker you develop them, meaning you should develop them quickly. Mm-hmm. I think that the quicker you get to developing your core value, your values, is going to be the better your life becomes.
I love that. I love that. And often, you know, as a pastor the last 14, 15 years or so, one of the questions I get asked is like, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, there's another question you need to ask yourself before you ask yourself, what is your purpose? And the question is this, what are your values? There's no practical way you can determine your purpose without values. See, what are values? Okay, here's an example of a value that I have. And once again, you go back to what Paul says. He says, as a man thinketh, so is he. My values are how I think and how I respond based upon how I think. Right? So here's one of my values. I have a value in my life that I hold firm to, excellence. I believe in being excellence. And I believe excellence in a context is stewardship, meaning I take care of things well. I want everything in my life to be excellent.
Yeah.
I want everything that I wear. I want my grooming. I want my attire. I want my home. I want my family. I want those things to be excellent.
Yes, so like the, your beard.
Yes, I want it. Yeah, that, see how lush it is. All the juices and berries. Why? Because stewardship and taking care of things, it allows you to keep them longer, right? So I'm the guy that before we came and sat and had this conversation, you saw me because I still do this to this day. I pulled out a toothbrush. I pulled out some cleaning solution. I took my sneakers out of the box that they have been in for years. I scrubbed my sneakers down because when I walk outside and people see my shoes, I want them to think, man, that guy has on a brand new pair of shoes.
Yes.
The shoes are not new. I've just taken care of them well. Why? Because I value excellence and I believe that excellence is seen in stewardship. And I love it because it translates to every area of my life. See, I think the thing, misconception people may have about values is they think their values only matter on the big things in life. And I wanna break that misconception. The when you have a value, it permeates, it penetrates even the smallest minute details of your life. So I'll be excellent in the way I clean my shoes. That's one area. That's a small thing. It's a micro area. But on the macro, as we get bigger, as the picture expands, I don't just take care of my shoes. My personal grooming is taken care of. My car, the one I've had for 15 years, is taken care of and still looks brand new. Our home, I made sure it was renovated during the time that we lived there. But then the biggest thing, the most important thing to me is my family.
Amen.
I take care of my family because I want everything that I am surrounded by to be stewarded well.
That's so good.
That's what God gave Adam in the garden to do. That was his first job. Take care of everything.
Yeah.
So I believe excellence is taking care of things well, and that's practically how it manifests.
And for me, you know, I value excellence as well as a core value, but I express it differently. Yes. I think it's really important for us to note that as well, is that while we may define our values, you know, and some of them may seem the same, the way that they're expressed may be different. So excellence to me is seen in execution.
Yeah.
Particularly, I demonstrate excellence in my work, in design, in creativity. Like that's where I see it manifesting in my life, because that's what matters most to me as it relates to excellence. I'll see it, and then we talk about micro and macro levels, right? And so, I'll see in the way, so we have our clothing business, right? So the micro level is even in the way that the items are packaged.
Yes.
Right? I want them to reflect the quality of the product itself. Mm-hmm. I want the experience, because we talk about that, is that, you know, your core values are also how you experience life.
That's right.
So I believe that even the experience of opening and getting that product and getting to the product has to be reflective of my work. And so I find myself looking at those very details because I want the experience to be excellent in every single way.
Love that.
So I express it a little bit differently, but we both value excellence. So yeah.
So to sum up excellence, values, the meaning of it as a whole, what do core values mean? I guess I could sum it up like this. Values are not only the lens in which you view life, but it is the way that you experience it.
There we go.
Your values help you experience life better.
Yes.
So knowing that, we know what values are. Let me ask you this. Why do you think we need them? Why do we need values? Ooh.
Well, I believe that we need core values because they help us in how we respond to things in our lives versus reacting to things in our life.
Great.
So we all know that we live in this world and there's just, you know, things are going to happen, mm-hmm. right? Pandemics are going to happen. This protests and civil unrest mm-hmm. is going to happen. We just don't know all the things that are going to happen in our life, right? And, you know, we define these times. I've heard it defined, this 2020, as uncertain times, mm-hmm. right? But our core values is what we can be, what is certain in our life.
Yeah, yeah.
So when there's chaos and things going on outside, our values are what centers us. Our mm-hmm. values are what anchors us. Our values help us to respond rather than react. What am I talking about? Mm-hmm. So let's look at verse Matthew 4 verse 2. And remember, this is like, you know, the temptation, right? Mm-hmm. So Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And we already know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 4, 2, that Jesus is hungry.
Yes.
He's hungry. He's been fasting and he's in this desert and but remember, he's Jesus.
Yeah.
He can fix that problem. He can react to that. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says in Matthew 4, 3, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Verse 4, Jesus answers, it is written, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like that is one of the best pictures of response versus reacting.
I love it.
Right? Because, you know, the response to I said hanger, because sometimes hungry just, when you're hungry, you get hangry, mm-hmm. right? So the response to hunger is to feed yourself, right?
Yeah.
Just eat something.
Yeah.
But Jesus was on purpose. He was on mission.
Mm.
And it was not, you know, the tempter try to convince him. See, you're going to have a lot of people in your ear trying to take you off of mission, mm-hmm. off of purpose, right?
Take you off
a path. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus responds and he's like, that's not my purpose. That's not the mission right now. Mm-hmm. I'm on mission right now.
Yes.
And you can't take me off course. So what does that mean? That tells me that my core values, how do I apply that? My core values are like a GPS system.
Mm.
It's like a compass that gives me direction in my life. See, mm-hmm. in my life, I can't go anywhere. I can't even go down the street without a GPS.
That's facts.
Yeah, I've become so dependent.
Lost McGee.
I've become so dependent on my GPS mm-hmm. that I don't even know how to get to any place anymore mm-hmm. without my GPS. And that's, you know, that some people, that's terrible. And you know, it may be great, but you know when it's really terrible? When you don't have battery, because my GPS is not one in my car. Mm-hmm. I use the GPS on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So when my battery runs out, okay, GPS becomes a problem.
Mm.
So I remember so many times I'll be using my GPS. And then of course you get to the part where, you know, I'm trying to get somewhere and then my phone dies.
Yes.
What do I have to do? I have to pull over. And I have to wait till it charges, as if I have a charger, or I have to go find a charger, whatever the case is. But I have to figure out a way to get where I'm going.
Wow.
My point is that I can't get anywhere without that GPS,
mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I could try to wing it.
Yep.
I could try to, you know, say, okay, I know I'm trying to go in this general direction, but I'm never going to get to where I got to get to, because I don't have my GPS.
Yeah.
Man, I've just, that's what core values is to me. Your core value, or my core values at least, it's my GPS. I can't get to where I need to go to without my core values. And so, you know, I love this example. Let's go back to it where I had to pull over. I had to pull over to recenter myself, to remember, you know, or to figure out how to get my GPS back working. I believe that core values also, like when you lose your way in your life, sometimes you might have to pull over and get back to those core values or reset that GPS so that you know where you're going.
I love it because I think God gives us a GPS in His Holy Spirit. I think if you want to define values and talk about why you need them, you also need to talk about why you need the Holy Spirit.
That's
because
good.
The Holy Spirit defines certain values for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible tells us in the Galatians to stay in step with the Spirit. Why? Because your flesh and the Spirit are always at odds.
That's right.
They're always at war with one another because your flesh, what does it want to do? It wants to take you off the path. It's gonna take you somewhere, but it's not going to take you to the place that you need to go. Listen, I didn't say want to go. It's not going to take you to the place that you need
to go.
See, people will follow the flesh because it may fulfill a temporary desire, but a temporary desire is not where God wants to keep you leave you. So sometimes you got to pull over spiritually on the side and you got to reset yourself. You got to get that Holy Spirit GPS working. You need those Holy Ghost values.
Come on.
On the inside of you so that they can direct you back to the path. Because like I said, Galatians says we must stay in step with the Spirit. But I'll even go as far as to say this. Your core values won't just keep you on the path. Your core values will keep you on purpose.
Come on.
Your core values will keep you on purpose. Because here's the thing. It's not just about me staying on this path.
Yes.
I want to stay on the path. But if I have a core value that dictates not my reaction, my response in life, then guess what? Not only am I going to stay on the path, there's certain actions that I'm going to take while I'm on the path that I would not take if I did not have values.
Come on. Because you know your purpose.
Because I know my purpose.
That's right.
My purpose is to love people,
and
my purpose is to help people. So not only do I want to stay on this path, but if I see a brother on the side of the road while I'm walking down the path, I don't just keep blazing forward towards my path. I stop to help him.
Yes.
Because of my values. So your values, when you're steeped in purpose, when you live in purpose, you're going to stay on the path. But because you know you have a purpose, you don't just fulfill your purpose when you get to the end. You're fulfilling purpose all the way along the path.
That's why core values help you to live your fullest life.
That's it. Abundant life.
Abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's powerful. See, so many people walk around or they go through life saying, man, what's my purpose? What's my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know, you know, they're not feeling fulfilled in their lives. It's because they have not identified those core values that help guide that purpose and that give you purpose, right?
I love that you said that because as a pastor for the last 15 years, that's the question I get the most.
Yeah.
What is my purpose? You know what my response is? I turn around and say, what are your values? Because your values will dictate your purpose. So I want to ask this last question because I believe that this one is essentially the most important. We know what values are. We know why they're important. But how do you know what your values are, love?
Wow. How do we know? I believe that one of the best ways to begin to craft and determine what you value, what your core values are, is identifying the things that bother you the most.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, the things that you see, the things that are like, oh, I wish they were this way, or the things that you just notice and focus on, the things that bother you can help you determine what those core values. Okay, so what does that look like? I remember when we lived in Baltimore, right? And this is, we were still in college.
Yep.
And that's where we met in Baltimore. And Baltimore is a unique city. It was then, from what I know, it's still that way today, where it's very racially divided. It's even called and referred to as a checkerboard city. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so because I saw that, and because I saw that sort type of atmosphere, there was sort of like a little bit of racial tension in the atmosphere that actually, right? And it permeated into our school. Mm-hmm. And so the way that I responded to that and what was that, you know, I thought representation, I had to show a representation of culture. Mm-hmm. And my goal was that it would then impact justice, social justice amongst the community and wow. even amongst the school. And so what I did was I created this program called Culture Shock. Mm-hmm. I was part of the student activities, you know, group or whatever you call it. And I had that influence. I was given authority to be able to do certain events. And so I did this thing called Culture Shock. Mm-hmm. And in that, it was a series of events where it exposed students to different cultures. And particularly, I didn't see myself in the artwork.
No,
I didn't see, there was no representation. Mm. And so I made it so that there was a lot more art showcased in and around the campus so that people can see, hey, you know, the level of excellence in our work is there. Mm-hmm. And there are people that don't look just like, you know what we're seeing. There's mm-hmm. people that look different and come from different places.
Yep.
And so there has to be a level of honor and respect there. And so through that, my goal was that social justice would be more prevalent in our community and in the school. So I realized that. So what am I saying? That's how I determined that one of the core values that I have in my life is justice.
Yeah.
Justice and representation.
Love
I
it.
Believe that representation of cultures in a society is so important because it's what helps us to be able to live together in unity.
I love that. Yeah. So you found a core value by finding something that bothered you and you wanted
yes.
to do something about it.
And I didn't know at the time either.
And I love that because the other way that you can figure out a core value is figure out things that you've always been doing
yes.
that you might not have identified. My mother will sit here and tell you right now, ever since I was a little boy, I used to just say, I want to help people. I didn't know what that meant.
Mm.
As a kid, I just said it. What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. I just want to help people. I just want to help people. Well, I'm almost 39 years into this life, and I'm actually walking out something of value as a pastor.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning on becoming a pastor, but I'm living out something that has been a value in my life for the last 39 years, and I could think of all the times I was on the path and I stopped at the side of the road to help somebody because I thought being helpful was a good value even as a child, and it's
wow.
carried me to my adulthood. So it's not just the things that bother you, it's you might want to look and see the things you've been doing all along.
That's a great way to determine.
Those are that's another
yes.
way to determine values. But here's I want to make it even more practical for folks. I know this is Sunday and it's not like a normal sermon. This has been more conversational, but this last thing is really important on how you determine your values. I want to get hyper practical as I possibly could with it. And we've been reading many books. We read this one book, Divine Fingerprint by Keith Craft. He's a mentor of ours. And he really helps structure how you develop your values.
Yeah.
And as I read the book a few times now and got all my highlights and my underlines, I wanted to give you some very practical ways other than finding things that bother you and fix them or seeing things you've done all along. I want to give you some real practical steps, right?
So you're saying like we're gonna give them homework?
Yeah, you
yes.
get homework.
Yes, yes.
You get homework.
Okay.
All right, before this message is done, you are getting homework. I implore every person, every family to do this right now. You need to figure out your values. Not just for your family, you should do that as well, but for you personally, you say, how do I do that? I want you to take a moment, whether it's now, whether it's after, write down things that are important to you.
Yeah.
Things that are important. Is success important? Are relationships important? Is family important? Whatever it is, you write those things out. It might be 2 things, it might be 10 things, it might be 20 things. Write them down. That's step number one, okay? I'm trying to get as practical as I can.
That's good.
Step number two, prioritize those things. Once you got a nice list, Prioritize them. If you got numbers 1 through 5, you find the most important one, make that number 1. The least important of those values, you make it number 5. So once again, you write them down, you prioritize them. I think that is very, very important, because it's gonna show what like I said, you gotta find out what matters most to you. And then once you've done that, this is the hardest part here. Because this really takes like this is real accountability.
Honesty. Right.
You write down what matters, you prioritize it, then ask yourself this one question. Am I living a life that reflects the things that I say I value? See, that's when you take a hard look.
Yeah.
Because you could write down, oh, I want to be this, I want to be that. But your life looks nothing like what
you're
talking about.
That's why I love core values so much, because you can't fake it.
You can't.
You can say whatever you want, but do those things align. So you have to be honest.
Be honest and ask yourself, am I living? And here's the best part. If the answer is no, this is the beautiful part about being a human being. You can change.
That's right.
You can change.
Work on it.
Okay, so how do I work on it? Well, you take your least strongest value. You do this with all your values, but especially your least strongest. And here's what you do. There's 3 keys.
Okay.
You implement, you monitor, you record. Implement, monitor, and record. You take your least strongest values, start to find ways to implement them in your everyday life.
In other words, do them.
Do them. Find small ways every day.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, I want to be disciplined. Discipline is my value, but you never work out.
Yeah.
How is
or health, right?
Yeah. How is health a value and you never
or you don't eat well?
Yeah, you don't eat well. Right, exactly. So you gotta actually implement it. Find little, I'm not saying go run a marathon today. I'm saying like, yo, start with like 10 push-ups and like 20 sit-ups. Because if you value it, if you're not doing something, if you're not implementing
it.
Small decisions, then you can't say it's a real value. But then when you implement, you gotta monitor.
Okay.
Be mindful of what you're doing. If you think health is a value and you started exercising right after this message and you can only do 1 push-up today, then tomorrow see how many you do. The next day see how many you do. Next week, see, be mindful, be honest. Yes. Don't lie, you did 1 push-up and then you said, oh, I did 10. You're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't play yourself, be mindful, monitor your progress. And then lastly, record it.
That's great.
Write it down. Like, oh man, this homework for real. I gotta write stuff. Yes.
Because it makes it real and it makes you accountable.
That's right.
Right?
That's
because
right.
It, you know, you could say things, you could even be mindful of things, but then when you write it down, you can actually track your progress.
Exactly.
You can be accountable to that.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that'll motivate you.
100%. If you started with 10 today, And 2 weeks from now you can do 20. You're like, oh.
And it's not just about working out.
Totally.
Guys.
There's a million
even
ways.
Need to be, it's based on whatever your value is.
It's based on whatever the value is for you. That's what matters. But we want you to implement it. We want you to monitor it. And we want you to record it.
That's
why?
Good.
Because the things you pay the most attention to will grow.
That's really good.
Things will not grow if you do not give them attention. Your children will not grow if you do not give it. Your marriage will not grow if you do not give it attention. Church will not grow if you don't give it. Everything we pay attention to, it grows and it flourishes. So I know you say, man, this was not what I thought I was going to hear today. I thought, you know, you was going to preach and hoot and holler. No, I'm trying to give you some practical stuff that will bless your life. Not to say that preaching won't bless you, but man, I want to give you something to do, because listen to what Paul says. He says, whatever's excellent, whatever's praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. Whatever you have heard in me, whatever you've seen in me, put them into practice and the God of peace will be with you. You want more peace in your life? You got to put your values into practice. Paul was saying, hey, if you do what I'm doing, Philippian church, you're going to continue to grow. If you put it into practice, it says, I love it, and the God of peace will be with you. You want more peace in your life? Put this stuff, put your values into practice.
Beautiful.
You want peace from COVID? Put your values into practice. You want peace from racism? Put your values into practice. You want peace when the world is in unrest and a quarter of the American workforce is out of a job? Put your values into practice.
Yeah.
Because the God of peace will be with you when you put these things. I hear you right now, because I know there's folks out there. It's not what I expected. Listen, you hear all this talk about values, and you're probably asking yourself this. Well, what is God value? Answer simple. You. God's value is you. You are God's core value. I want you to hear this. And it's not even just you, it's relationship with you. You ever wanted to know what your Heavenly Father values? He values a relationship with you. You say, how you know that? Because when he created the earth, he put Adam and Eve here. Why? Because even back then, he wanted a relationship with us. Mm. You see your life that you're living now, and you think that nobody's with you or nobody's for you. God has never left you nor forsaken you, which means right now, in your present, he wants a relationship with you right now. Some of y'all are like, oh, when I get to heaven and I see Jesus, you can see him and live with him right now. Because he values a relationship with you right now in your present. But guess what? He also values the future relationship that he's going to have with you. One day, when we all get to heaven, we're going to have eternal relationship with Jesus. That is what God values. All he wants to do is be close to you. You say, how do you know that? Because it's what we've been saying from the beginning. When you know what matters most to you, you will attract what is most important to you. Because you matter most to God, he wants to attract you to him. So how do you know that? The Bible tells me so. Matthew 18, 12 through 14, when Jesus talked about the parable of the lost sheep, he says this. He says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, I love this, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. What does it mean? God doesn't care about the 99? No, he does, but they're already with him. God cares about the one that is far, that is not in right standing, that is not in relationship to him. It's why we sing songs like Reckless Love, because we want you to understand how valuable you are to a God up in heaven that created you. He wants you to call him Father because he loves you. Everything that God values is about a relationship with you. What God values most is you today. And I don't know what side of the fence of faith you're on today, but I want you to hear me loud and clear. If you don't feel valuable, God values you. God's values are about a relationship with you. How do I know that? Because while we were yet sinners, he sent his son Christ to die for us, to put us in right standing with him. Wherever you are today, you say, man, I want a relationship with the God that values me. All you gotta do is receive it. Jesus died for it. All you have to do is, the Bible says, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart he was raised from the dead, you're saying, that's it. Just confess. Emily, wherever you are right now, on the count of three, you say, I want a relationship with God because he values me. If that's you, count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Here we go. One, two, three. Just raise it. Doesn't matter if somebody else in the room. Don't matter if you're by yourself. I want you to raise it because I'm trying to put an action to it. I want you to have to feel this. Put an action to it. Doesn't care who's looking. God sees you. I can't see you. God sees you. And more than your hand, God sees your heart. So right now, we're going to say a prayer. Like I said, confess and believe. My wife's going to pray. Repeat after her. And when you say this, don't just say it. Believe it in your heart and know that you're a son or daughter of the Most High God, and he values you. Baby girl, why don't you pray?
Why don't you lift up your hands, maybe, wherever you are. And it's not to be over spiritual or, a weird gesture, but what it says is that you are surrendering your life to Jesus right now. And there's a lot of things that we lift our hands up for, but right now, we're asking you to lift your hands up to what matters most, and that is a relationship with Jesus. So repeat after me, Father God.
Father God.
I thank you, Lord Jesus.
I thank you, Lord Jesus.
For this opportunity.
For this opportunity.
To rectify my relationship.
To rectify my relationship.
With you, God.
With you, God.
Father God, I'm sorry.
Father God, I'm sorry.
For I've sinned.
For I've sinned.
I don't want to sin anymore.
I don't want to sin anymore.
I want to let go of the past.
I want to let go of the past.
And I want to walk into a new future.
And I want to walk into a new future.
With you, God.
With you, God.
God, I pray.
God, I pray.
That my values, Lord.
That my values, Lord.
Will align with you, Lord Jesus.
Will align with you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, I ask God that you forgive me.
Lord, I ask God that you forgive me.
For everything, Lord.
For everything, Lord.
That kept me.
That kept me.
From you, Lord.
From you, Lord.
I thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
I receive, Lord, the forgiveness.
I receive, Lord, the forgiveness.
I trust, Lord Jesus.
I trust, Lord Jesus.
In just you.
In just you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Amen.
If you prayed that with us today, just know and trust and believe that God heard you, and this is the first step towards you walking in a right relationship with your God in heaven.
Amen, amen, amen. Family, we are so proud of you. If you made that decision today, it's like my wife said, it's the first step. You are valuable to God.
Yeah.
I want you to know that with everything in your heart. Hey, you made that decision. Awesome. We want to know about it, but we also want to celebrate you. So you'll see some prompts come up on the screen right now. You can check those out. But if you're in the comments, maybe you want to raise your hand. If you're in church online, there's like a little hand to raise, a little button there. You press that. And once again, you can text the prompt to the number on the screen, and we will connect with you. It's just a way to say, hey, I surrendered my life to Jesus today. And I know I can't show you what heaven looks like, but the Bible says that when one comes back to the Father, there's a celebration of heaven. He's turning up for
yes.
you right now. So family, we do this every week on the count of three. Start hitting those hearts. Start hitting those claps. Start hitting those likes. On the count of three, we're going to turn up for everybody because we celebrating
yes.
you. Here we go. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Thank
All
you,
that
Jesus.
Noise. You know who that's for? That's for you.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
It's for each and every one of you.
Come
we
on.
Love y'all so, so much. Thank you for joining me and my wife today
yeah.
for this conversation about our values. Get ready because over the next few weeks of Cool Church, we're unveiling the new values of Cool Church. Because your values gonna keep you grounded in these crazy times that
yes.
we are living in. I'm so, so excited. Right, love?
Yes, and you, guys, do the homework.
Please do the homework.
You gotta do this. Listen, it's for you. It's for you. That don't you wanna live a full life?
Right.
Don't you wanna live your best life? And so that's what this is all about. This is the perfect time to do it when we are in this such trend. It's like a transitional space that we're living in.
That's right.
So now is the perfect time. And as we go throughout the weeks, you know, maybe you want to start. And as we go throughout the weeks, you can develop them.
That's right. Yeah, don't think like you got to figure this out in a day. It took us a while to develop our core values.
Yeah.
But do the work. You write down what's important. You prioritize it. Then ask yourself, am I living by these things?
Yeah.
And if you're not, you have the time to implement, monitor, and record.
Very
and you'll
good.
Get better and better and better. Hey, church, we love you so much. Please join us next week for the first new Cool Church value. It's going to be epic.
Come on.
Reach
Hit us
your
up
hands
on,
towards
on
me.
Social
yes.
media, too. We want to hear about your
yeah,
your
you
sessions.
Got, that's
or,
right.
Yeah,
that's right. Talk with your family about this.
Yes.
Teach your kids this stuff. And if you like what you heard today, share it. Hit the share
Come
button.
On.
Sharing is caring. Sharing is caring. And before Stacy comes and gives us a word, reach towards me. Let me bless you before you go. Father God, thank you for the greatest people in all the world, Cool Church. Bless them as they rise up, as they lie down, as they go out, as they come in their labor and in their leisure. God, surround them with your presence. God, I pray that this week of their life will be the best week of their life. And God, I pray you keep the family safe from everything out there. Racism, COVID, and everything in between. God, keep the family safe till we're together again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love you, family.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.